Okay, at this time we'd like to have Brother Raphael come up. And he has titled his remarks to us this morning, The Great Plan. The Great Plan, Brother Raphael.
Thank you very much, Brother Aaron. And welcome, brethren. And I would like to welcome you all as our Lord teaches us to welcome each other. Peace be with you. Once we are getting a setup here, I think that I think that was a blessing that we stopped before that last verse once we are singing, because you know sometimes it's good to be prepared for the punchline, if you will, or for something which is so much important. And this is what it was. That was the last verse about the kingdom of God and what He prepared for us. So I like this hymn particularly from my youth and from young, because it's telling the story and the God's plan and how it's gonna be. First of all, before we start, I would like to bring you the warm love and greetings. First and foremost, from my wife Ella, and she mentioned it so many times that she would love to be with you here today, and she regretted that that she had to send me just by myself, and she would like to really be. And she's sending very very warm love to all of you, as well as the whole Vancouver class. They asked to greet you all, and also my parents, my sister, and also I'm bringing you love from Poland, from Warsaw, from my in-laws, and a special love from Sister Anna Grudzień from Portland and her family as well, Dariusz and Margaret and Ania. They are sending their love too. The Great Plan. We would think that from the title, I think you know what we will be talking about. And I think that most of you being so many years in this class or studying the Holy Word and the topics, what Brother Russell told us, I think everybody is familiar, and we have a plan here. But I would like to today maybe do it from a little bit a different perspective, and we would like to talk about three major points during this time, and point which is what is the plan in and why we need it. Do we need it really? Do we need to know it? Is it just some major points, or how big is it? And maybe, well, the proof if there is a plan at all. And another point would be, is there evidence for it? Because we as students of the words of the Lord, we would like to have a proofs what we are believing in and how we are structuring our service to the Lord. And are we supposed to really dig into it? Is it our thing? And what is the purpose of that plan? What is the goal? And why is human life so important in that plan? And we as a really small human being and that great point on that plan where the God he sent his son to save the world. So let's move on and let's talk about the plan. So what is the plan? And how big is it? Usually plans are needed for everything. In our lives we have examples of plans which are in construction, people designing a car or any sophisticated things in our lives, they creating the plans. People and even some brethren I know they are working in the disaster recovery planning. What happened if something happened not right, how we are going to be handling it, and so on. We are preparing for that. we are talking about our retirement plans, which we should think about it once we finish university and so on. We should plan for it in the future. And we are making those plans. We have a healthcare plan, etc. So we can see that plan is needed in every single aspect of our lives. Let's imagine for a while that, and I know some of you here are involved in construction, and let's imagine I'll come to you and say, okay, I bought a land, and I want you to build a building in there for me. Here is the money, please do it. What would be the first thing? Where is the plan? What you want to build? Well, I would like to build maybe some kind of the building. Yeah, but what kind of building? Is it just a storage building, or this is the high rise? You want to have a basement, or you want to, how many stores you want? Well, we would like to this and that. No, we need something in details, right? And even before that, if we come up with our first plan in our head, we will talk to designers, architects, they will put it carefully on the blueprints. Can we start? Not yet. Well, the plan has to be approved by the authorities, and then they have to do other things to prepare to build it. I did not know, but you know, most of the buildings, they required the ground testing. If the ground sustain the whole building, because if we build it, then it may collapse after all. So there's so many things, and we need, when you see that plan is needed everywhere. I actually know a person who they build a house, they trusted the builder, they gave them the plan, and after the first floor they realized there is no plumbing dig out. And they actually had to pay a lot of money to take down most of the walls and go into the foundations and start digging for drainage and plumbing. Well, it's unbelievable, but this is what's happening and how serious it is if you don't have a good foundations, if you don't put your efforts to planning. And I think that we all know are convinced that plan is needed. And we know, maybe some of you know the saying that failing to plan is a planning to fail. If we don't have a plan, this is perfect plan for failing. Take a chance, and there are very slim chances that it will be good. So we know that plan is needed, and it's a great plan. But let's talk about the big plan, something which is really huge. Some of us I know, and including myself, I think I got it from my grandfather, likes to look up at the sky at night. It's hard to do that in the city, but you know, I remember a few times once we were high up in the mountains and I look in the sky, it's amazing. It's amazing the magnitude of those things. You look up, and then if you can, you'll look at it through the beautiful telescopes, and you put your telescope in the area where it's just very couple maybe blinking stars, and you see something like this. And this shows how huge the universe is, and something of infinite magnitude, and that shows the creator who created. Those slides, most of them probably are the real slides where mankind right now is able to take through the Hubble and telescope or something, some very sophisticated instruments. And things which scientists right now are looking at, and the tools they learn through the increase of knowledge, as Prorok Daniel said, we are learning things, and we are living in the wonderful times, in the times where scientists are proving things which a few years back were just in a pure theory, and they said, oh, that's not really like this. And we are blessed to see how God is revealing his details in his plan. But let's look at something even bigger than that. bigger than the universe? Yes. Let's look at the biggest and the greatest and the pure perfect plan. The plan which is including everything. It's very carefully crafted, and whole world and whole universe is in it, and every single little detail as well. The God's great plan, and that representation in that drawing which everybody is familiar with, is in the scriptures and writings of the Bibles. And I like particularly that scripture which was in my mind from childhood, from Habakkuk 2:2. Write down the vision and make it plain upon tables, that everyone may read it fluently. And this is something which is important. It shows that God gave us that information, and He wants to make it plain for everybody and explain it to them. And it is important because we live in the difficult times, and we live in the times where we need encouragement, and there is lots of fear around and uncertainty. And this is like that, we are sometimes like that, this worker which comes to the construction looking at that big building and so on and say, where do I start? What do I do? And he needs to look at the plan. It's good to know that the one who is in charge is not letting it go by itself. He has a detailed plan. And I hope those few minutes of this presentation will be comforting to us. So we do have two proofs in the Bible that God has a plan. Simplifying it, there are two proofs. Proof number one is an Old Testament. Proof number two is a New Testament. Everything is in there. And God outlined everything there. He hid some things in the prophecies, but He revealed it to us. Let's look at the parts of New and Old Testament, and let's read scriptures. We'll have quite a bit of reading today, because if it's written, we know that the God's word, and it is something which He is passing on to us. Ephesians 3, 8 to 11. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among Gentiles and unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is in the fellowship of mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been had hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which is purposed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ is very important point of that whole plan. We'll say most important, and the point which everything was centered around. And to make sure that we have those proofs, let's look at the Old Testament as well. In Isaiah 14, chapter 24-26, the Lord of hosts has sworn by saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, shall it stand. That is the purpose that it purposed upon the whole earth, and it is in hand that is stretched upon all the nations. God's plan is perfect, His promises, and He fulfills all of them. He fulfills His promises, and His plan, detailed, will come to fulfillment. We sometimes make our own promises. We make our own plans, but we are changing them because of maybe this or maybe that. We say, oh, maybe I promised that, but I have excuse because of this. That shows two things. number one, maybe our plans are not perfect, and number two, that with our human nature, sometimes we are not able to fulfill what we promise. It shows that God can predict what will happen, and therefore he has a plan. In Isaiah 46:9 we read, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." That assures us that whatever is in God's plan will be fulfilled, and the goal will be achieved. The history is teaching us that God is keeping his promises, and that history of Israel shows that he carries them out. He led them out of the captivity as promised. He put the nation in the promised land, and he sent his Messiah. And once we looked at the history, maybe even very recent history, where the Israel nation was formed, and soon after, other nations came after him with such a huge advantage in the army, nobody was even thinking that Israel would be able to survive. Yet, God gave his promise, and he kept it. And we are witnessing one of the biggest miracles of our times, where Israel is a nation. Another proof from the New Testament we read in the Ephesians 1:4. "According as he hath chosen us in him before foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." This is the fact that we were chosen was planned before the world was even created. And God already knew that the world would sin, and he planned and salvation and high calling. And his plan included that. That proves that God has a plan, and he's able to plan for it, and it will happen. Let's move on to Amos 3:7. "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servant, the prophets." God wants us, those who love him and who would like to follow him, to know his plan, because he wants his servants to know what they are supposed to do in his plan and support his plan here, not be against it by opposite doings. His workers need to know what the plan is, same as in our daily lives. Those who may have to build something and fulfill the will of the builder, they need to open up the plan and they need to know it. In his great plan, we know that God created his world, his plan, and the world not alone, but with Jesus. Let's read 1 Peter 1:19 to 20. "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordinated before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." That big secret, what was predestinated before even the world was created, was revealed and intended for us, for his followers. He revealed to us the part of the plan that concerns us at needed time, and revealing his plan according to what is needed for us at the time. And we know that during that creation, he was not alone. The Logos was with him. In Colossians 1:15-16 we read, "Who is the image of invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He created visible and invisible things. This, what we can see, and forces, what we cannot see, worlds, which we cannot see. And again, those who are looking at recent findings in astronomy, they are saying that there is something which we cannot see, but there is something in the universe which we cannot even think of what it could be. This is something which scientists are coming up. I remember once I was looking at those findings quite a few years ago, the famous words from those programs in TVs were, "We, scientists, we came to conclusion that the space and the universe is that and that old, and this is how it is." And recently, once I was watching some other program, I was really impressed and happy to hear them saying, "According to our knowledge today, this is what we think it might be." That comes with the saying that little knowledge is drawing people away from God, but lots of knowledge will draw us back to him, because we will see the magnitude and how little we know and how great things God created for us. We know that God created our planet, and he put the man up there. And humans, we can see only visible things and closest to us, the creation of visible thrones and dominions and powers. And we don't know much about those worlds and things we cannot see with our eyes. And we know only from what God revealed to us. Jesus said in his saying that he could ask his Father and he can send him a host of angels. We don't know how it would look like, but our Lord knew about that infinite power of his Father and what he could do. So we talked a little bit about that plan. So what is the God's plan? What is the purpose? What is the goal of that plan? And why human life is so important in it? After all, we are so small. And he sent his own son, his own beloved son, to save us, to save the world. Genesis 1:26, let's read. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish to sea, and over fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all earth, and over every creeping thing that is creepeth upon the earth." Creation of man to likeness of God. What is it? Is it like God looks like we are looking? I think it's more on the character and more on the side of that. We receive the free will. We receive the freedom, and we receive also creativity. Let's look at the goal. In 1 Timothy 2:4 to 6, we read, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." And this is what is very important and the goal of the God's plan. The ransom for all. The ransom was put for all. God wants everybody will be redeemed and will know what is God, what is good, and what is evil, by this to avoid evil. We have been created with the freedom to rule over the earth. We need to learn how to distinguish between good and evil. We need to learn to use our freedom, and we need to learn to choose to do only good out of the free will. We are ruling the earth, and we know how it goes right now. What's happening once we are having it in our hands. And this is the time of learning and seeing that God is over all, and He knows best and better than us. We also are creating things. We are creating things, but they are not obedient to us. And what we do with it? What we do if we create something which is not doing what we want to do? And we said, well, it's not working out. We're casting it out and making another. Because something is not doing what we want. But God's creation includes a free will. Because it is a big pleasure to receive things out of the free will of a giver. We are saying you didn't have to do that once we receive something from somebody, but it's a pleasure because somebody made it from the free will. This is done from the heart because of choosing a good thing. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, we read, every man according to the purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly but of necessity, for God loves cheerful giver. God loves if somebody will give something from themselves, from their own hearts. And to do things from our own will and things which obey the God's law, we need to come to that by ourselves. We need to be convinced, because God shows us consequences of good and evil. Choice of good out of liberty with no fear. In 2 Corinthians 3:17 we read, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we know that Lord's will and follow in this. We know that Lord's will and follow this path. People enforce obedience by others by force. You'll do what I say or else I'll harm you. But God wants to have His plan fulfilled and people to serve Him out of their heart, which only good things will be coming out. Serving the Lord out of our heart and the free will. But in that beautiful creation, we know that in that beautiful garden, the opponent appeared, Satan, and then the war started. We know, according to the plan, who will win that war. It is, after all, in the God's plan. In Genesis 3:1-5, we read, now the serpent was more subtle than the beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yeah, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. How clever mixing truth and lies. And that lie, which Satan said just in few words, is ringing to our ears till today. You shall not surely die. There is no death. And that's how lots of teachings came out, that people are not really dying. They are going to the different places, different worlds. But this is not what God said. And we have a scripture that what is the penalty of death? The penalty of sin? The penalty of sin is death. And we have a scripture what death is, that after we die, there is what? There is nothing. It's the end of existence. And that way, we could see that the ransom could be placed, and the justice could be fulfilled, and love, and the world could be bring, will be bring in the future to the harmony with God. And the tree was in the middle of the Eden. It was not hid somewhere else. It was in the midst of the garden. And we know from the story that man was not alone there. There was a guardian and supervisor in the middle of that garden. In Ezekiel 28:13, we read, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl and the onyx, and the jasper and the sapphire and emerald, and the carbuncle and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in these in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire." We read then in the following scriptures, "That was perfect in thy ways of that day thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. Because of thy beauty thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee." Satan was created as a beautiful being and a very high position. And he was placed in the Eden upon the holy mountain. And God anointed cherub. But he refused to obey God. He was opposed to him and made his own plan. The plan to destroy God's plan, put himself up and to show that he is stronger and greater. To hurt, Satan wanted to spoil God's work, put it in his heart, his mind, to break God's law, to show who is stronger and to show his power. And that word started, and we read it about 14:12-14. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst waken the nations? For thou hast said in the heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." What a huge pride of the Lucifer. He was not content from the way he was created, and he would like to take place of God. Then it started, deceiving the people and gathering his own army. Even some angels, as we read it in the Revelations 12:9, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." And it started. It resulted in evil, sickness, death, and all the difficulties and difficult times appeared. And nowadays, a lot of people are thinking that Satan is winning because of his world and all evil happening. There are sickness, and people accuse God not being able to prevent it. But we are watched by all, by the world and angels and people. In 1 Corinthians 4:9 we read, For I think that God hath set for us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. And this, the answer of that is in history, a beautiful history of Joseph. Once he gave a definitions of the plan for all nations. In Genesis 50:20, let's read. But as of you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it into good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. We remember what happened, what evil things were done to Joseph, but it was the plan to turn it into good and to save his family, his brothers and nations. It's a beautiful story of Joseph and showing how his suffering and missions to accomplish the salvation of that world. Save much people alive. And as it is written in the beautiful first chapter of Ephesians, our time is running, so we will just read parts of it. But this is a beautiful chapter showing that God's plan and what he was choosing in his plan. In the verse 4, we read, as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That's a beautiful plan. And set, everything was set before even earth was created. And it was a very important part of his plan. In following verses, it's showing in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The grace and redemption was part of his plan. And Jesus came on earth to redeem us, as it was in the God's plan, to fulfill the justice and love at the same time. In following verses, verse 8 to 10, we are reading about what was shown in the purpose of the plan, the fullness to gather everybody in one Christ, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even with him. Everything will be bring to the harmony through the Jesus Christ and will be fulfillment of his plan. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Promise? Of kingdom, promise of kingdom to come, and we know that God is keeping his promises, and he will keep this one. It will come to the truth. And as we mentioned, we're not always keeping our promises, but the God promise, the goal of his plan, will be fulfilled. The kingdom will come, and people will serve him out of free will, and people will choose good. In following verses, following that chapter, we also see that we should ask and seek and pray to get to know God's plan. That the God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him. And we should ask, we should look at that plan. We should dig it deep and pray to get understanding what his plan is. and to have the knowledge of it. Sometimes, once we will see that something is happening, what we would not do that way, once we are creating something, but we as the workers will need to comply with what the plan is. We may not understand why it is happening like this, but once we are on that construction, we are not questioning why this or that machinery is out there right now. We are following the plan because we trust that the one who created that plan knows better. And that's how it's supposed to be as well, I think, in our lives. If we see something which is troubling our heart, which we see something which is not going as we would do, I will quote one of the brothers I was talking about. And he says, "Brethren, don't worry. God is in charge. He knows what he is doing. It may seem that we cannot understand it. We are sometimes angry at what's happening. And it is natural to see and not being happy what's happening. But that knowledge of what is happening and why, and that God is in charge, will bring a peace to our hearts in those times where we are worrying and troubling from what we see what's happening, and how much fear is put in our hearts from the news and from other things which are happening in the world. Let's not worry about it. That God is in charge." And we know what the God plans is revealing in the following verses of the Ephesians first chapter. "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." And revealing God's plan is important for his followers, chosen and spreading the gospel about his salvation, about his kingdom. God wants us to know what the plan is and to fulfill his will, especially those who are following him and who dedicated their hearts to him. We not only have a right, but we should dig deep and we should learn about that plan, what should be there, and tell people and maybe even comfort them that it will come to pass and then there is a hope. But there is no hope just for us, just for our group. It's not only hope for those who sign up to our church. If you believe, if you sign up to us, then you will be saved. If you don't listen to us, there is no hope for you. We hear those things. And this is against what is written, that there is ransom for all. And God has a wonderful plan, and every human being is in it. And this is our duty, to study it deep, to be convinced, and to show that the plan of God includes everybody in his Son and in the ransom where he put for all. In Ephesians 3:9, we read why this plan was a mystery. Because of the Satan, it was hidden. And God did not reveal that Jesus was sent on earth to die to fulfill his plan. We right now are going this way to reveal the plan and to follow it. And everybody is watching us as well. God teaches us to obey now, to show evil and good, and the consequences of making that decision, because every decision we make, there is a consequence. To know what evil is, and to keep away from the evil. God wants us to learn to distinguish good from evil and remember this what is difficult for us and painful. We need to learn how to keep away from the evil which is hurting us and it doesn't taste good. And we cannot, brethren, do it alone. And we need others to help us on that way. And I think that conscious of good and evil will last in our minds and people's minds forever. Once we look at that world to come, the question arises, how we can reconcile the free will with everlasting life, the choice of doing good and evil. And I think that all those ages which we are going through, these consequences of doing good and consequences of doing evil will be in our minds, in people's minds. And as right now, for those who are closer to the Lord, they don't want to do evil things. There things are which there is no way we will do because we love the Lord and we know how bad are they. I think these thoughts will be in the future in the people's mind. They will remember what is the consequence of doing evil. And the result of that will be beautiful. It will be choosing good from people's heart. People will choose to do only good from their free will because they remember what are consequences of choosing evil. But we need a fellowship for that. And as we read in Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of mystery which is from the beginning of the world that hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And that importance of that is the fellowship, to learn and fulfill his plan, to comfort each other, to show that God has a greater plan than anyone here, and any plans. People are making plans to do good things too, to save environment, to create a better workplace, to create better healing power. There is that good in people's heart. And we can comfort them as well, that there will be time where God's plan will fulfill and that all ultimate goodness will come and gladness will come. God sent us all experiences to make us work and work together with brethren and working as a team. If we don't do it, we miss opportunity. And it will be a danger that we will not know this plan and we will go the opposite way that way. So we should dig in deep and learn with each other what the God plan is and encourage each other as well. And we need to study it. We need to know not only a number, but the meaning of the plan. What is the method to get to his plan? What is our place in this plan? And how can we achieve to stay in it and learn how to work together? Because we are working together on this narrow way. And we should comfort each other that there is a plan which is true and being fulfilled, comforting daily lives. And we are walking together on that narrow way. I know that many of you are hiking in the mountains, and some of you were hiking in the quite a steep ways up. I want you to imagine it, how it looks like if you are going up and having your eyes set on the goal. You forgetting what was behind you and you are focusing on the goal. And if you see your fellow walkers with you, if you look at them and you're looking up, all of them are greater than you, right? All of them are taller. And you're going to their direction uphill to your goal. But let's think what's happening once you see that everybody else is lesser than you. You are taller than them. Which direction are we going? We are going down. We are on the higher position and we see others as a greater than ourselves. Let's not forget where our position is and where is the goal. And having our eyes set on Jesus on the top, we will see that others are greater from than us, and that humbleness will keep us safe from what was the big trap for Lucifer, and he wants to be the biggest and the greatest, but he couldn't, and he is not. Keeping in mind his great plans, because, and I would like to conclude with the one of the verses which are very close to my heart as well. In Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time," and there is many of them, we all have our own sufferings. We suffer physically through the physical things, physical sufferings and difficult times. We are suffering also maybe emotionally, sometimes the suffering in the fellowship. But those sufferings, as we read, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That great glory which is coming surely, because that's his plan. That's his goal, where the God said, and it will be done. And I wish you, brethren, that all of you will be part of his plan and be part of those who will fulfill it, be with the Lord forever, and may the Lord add his blessings. Amen.